The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I'm telling you, things are happening. They're happening in the spirit realm. And when they happen in the spirit realm, they manifest in the physical realm. The important thing is how we approach it, our attitude, and our expectation of what God is going to do. I expect my God to move in a mighty way. Pastor Otis was talking this morning about how important it is to speak things and to make sound. Our worship is a wonderful sound. And there are some scientists that believe that once you speak something or there's a sound made that it never dissipates. It's always out there bouncing around, going here and there and everywhere. Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea, it'll be done. Powerful, but you have to speak to it. And I'm telling you this morning, you have to speak to your circumstance and your situation. You have to speak positively. You have to speak good things into the life of your family and the people around you. You have to understand the power of the spoken word. How powerful it is. There's life and death. Life and death in the tongue. And if you eat it, it says, you will reap the fruit of it. If you recognize it, it's what it's saying is, if you recognize that you have the ability to speak life and death, you're going to reap fruit of it. Oh, I know many of us probably grew up in homes where life was not spoken. And I hope that coming to this church and hearing the messages that come forth from this place and the kind of attitude that is here, you will not carry that on in your family. God has commanded you, husband, wife, to speak good things to one another. When you start speaking evil and negative, it just adds to evil and negative. Speak good things to your children. Build them up. Encourage them. Help them. I'm not telling you to let them get by with anything and everything. God knows I don't agree with that. I don't think that children should be able to do just as they please. That's the wrong attitude. You're the parent. Act like it. Don't be their friend. They don't need a friend. They got plenty of friends. Act like a parent. Teach them. Train them. Raise them up according to the word of God. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they'll not depart far from it. That means that you have some power in your children's lives. Speak the word of God into their life. Speak love. Speak power. Speak good things into other people's lives. Wherever you go and whatever you do, speak positive things. You want to walk away from people, leaving them with, dumbfounded by the attitude that you have, so that they will come. They can come and ask you, what is it that makes you different? The Christ in you is supposed to make you different than the rest of the world. It's supposed to give you hope when there is no hope. It's supposed to give you an expectation when it looks like there should not be any expectation. When it looks like everything's going to fall apart, it gives you, just like Dot said this morning, she has a future. God knew she had a future. Even when she was crying out and saying, God, it doesn't look like I have a future. God had a future for her. He has a future. He has a hope. He has a destination. Glory. That's what we're talking about with the game of life. I want you to know there are important things about the game. How many's ever played this game? You played the game of life? All right. What's the object of the game of life? To win. Right. That's it. Excellent. See, it's not really, it's no deep meaning to playing a game like this. There's really just an expectation that you want to be the winner when it's all over with. And I've played this game and Monopoly and other games like this with people that were ruthless. Downright mean-spirited. And when they got in my way, I squelched them. Winning. That's what it's all about, is winning. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about winning in the game of life. This, the life that we live. I want us to understand that there are winners and there are losers. Do you know what a winner looks like? Amen. That's right. Now, I want you all to look around. Now, I have to qualify this. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, look around. Everyone that knows Christ is a winner. Amen. You're winners. That's right. He made you a winner. Christ did all the work on the cross for you. Yes. He gave you everything you need to be a winner. Now, although you look like a winner, some of you do not act like winners. Right? Come on. We don't always have and always walk in the power that Christ has given us to be a winner. And I want to also say this. Just because you've had some failures does not mean that you're a loser. Failures are a part of life. Failure is a way we learn sometimes. Yes, it is. It's not the most pleasant way to learn. But when you're as bullheaded as I am, sometimes you have to fail a lot to learn. You have to go through some things. How many have gone through things and learned a lesson from it? Everybody in here. We've all had that time. Well, I think that that's important because when we're going through those times, we have to have the right attitude toward that failure. You know, one of the things, you all know that Randy and I play basketball together, and we play in Athens at the middle school. And Randy's a competitor. He likes to win.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. Yep. And I would be the first to say there's nothing wrong with that. I like to win too. So when we're on opposite teams, one of us has to lose. And I do my very best to make it him. But when I happen to be the one on the losing end, he's horrible. He does this to me. And then he says, "Loser." Well, we have a good time, even in that. But, you know, if we're not careful, every one of us has had somebody, I mean, seriously, say, "Loser, you're a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to accomplish anything." That's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Your God has made you a winner. And he wants you to walk in his power and win.
Yes, sir.
And even when you fall, his word says that he's there to pick you up and put you back on your feet.
Yes, he is.
So that you can continue down your path. Falling, failing from time to time is not losing. Failing is just it's a setback sometimes. It's a minor one. And when we come up against obstacles, we have to recognize those obstacles are there for our purpose.
Come on, sir.
Amen. It makes you stronger.
Amen.
Go over them, go under them, go around them, go through them if you have to.
Amen.
But recognize this, that when you come up against an obstacle, your God is on your side.
Yes.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he has promised that he'll take you through. Now, lots of times we are looking for an escape. You remember what Dot said this morning? "Just kill me, God." That's basically what she said. Yeah. There's been some powerful people said that. Elijah said that. "Kill me. No, I don't want to live like this." I'm sure that many of us have come to that point in our life where we just said, "God, take me out. I don't want to go through this again." And yet, our God, being the gracious God He is and the powerful God He is, He sees us through. He does not necessarily want us to be in a position or have an attitude like that, but He understands us because He understands humans. He became one. So He understands us. And He picks us back up. And you know, just like Dot's story this morning, there's a great end to the story. It's not over yet. You know, she's going to have some huge challenges. Things are going to be different for her. Big time. And let me tell you something that's really neat about this is that even in her job, God is stretching her as a person. Amen. God wants to stretch you as a person. If you're in here this morning and you're comfortable with where you are in life, you may not be where God wants you to be. Because God, what He wants to do to each and every one of us, He wants to keep us moving forward, growing, becoming a new creature in Christ, changing everything about us so that we become more like and in the image of Christ. And you can't do that when you're comfortable. Let me tell you what happens to you. If physically, when I just get comfortable, I start sitting around on the couch a lot, watching football or basketball, hockey. You like hockey? Hockey's a fast game. Baseball, I'm not too much into that. It's too slow. It's a slow game. I know a lot of people love baseball, so I don't want to criticize it. But, you know, when I get comfortable, that's when I start looking like I'm comfortable. Yes. You know, you can look at a person and say, man, you've really gotten comfortable, haven't you? How many pounds have you put on? You know, I get weak. And we get that way in the spirit realm. We get comfortable in the spirit. We get comfortable with who we're worshiping with. We get comfortable with what we're doing. We get comfortable. Even in our worship, we'll just get comfortable in it and not be stretched. Hallelujah. Thank God for our praise and worship team. They do stretch us. Pastor Otis and Ivy, they stretch us. When it comes to worship, they try to get you out of your comfort zone. I know many of you are very reluctant. You like your comfort. But the purpose is not to hurt you. That's not why they're trying to encourage you to do these things, to lift your hands and shout or dance or run the aisles. Hallelujah. I haven't seen much of that around here. But it does happen. And it's okay. You know what that is? That's your emotions. Now, does that mean that you're just being totally emotional? No. It means that you are stirred by the Spirit of God to express your emotions in a certain way. God doesn't just come and take you over and make you run around the aisles, run around the church. He doesn't make you stand up and shout, and He doesn't make you speak in tongues. He doesn't make you do anything. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman that comes into your life and He woos you and encourages you and leads you. Your response to it is your choice. Amen. Glory. Well, you know, I realize I need to get into some of this stuff this morning just a little bit because I want everyone to know that God wants you to be a winner. Let me ask you something. When we're talking about winning, we're talking about having success in our life, in the game of life. There's some people out there that the world would definitely say is a success. Let me throw a couple of them out to you. How about Donald Trump? The world say that Donald Trump is a success? I'm just talking about purely the his business and all that kind of stuff. He's a success. Yes. How about let's look at a, movie star, Nicolas Cage. See, I like Nicolas Cage, by the way, so that's the reason I chose him. Duck Dynasty. Yeah, there you go. Are those guys a success? Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You got a successful business. They got a successful TV program. Absolutely. And they're funny.
Yes, they are.
Amen. How about, let's look at some sports. Kevin Durant. Is he a success? Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Purely in basketball. I believe Kevin Durant is a believer as well. I've heard him say some things. But, you know, purely from the basketball and career-wise, he's a success. So, and there's a race car, races. Jimmy Stewart is one of them that comes to my mind. He's a success. Okay, now we've qualified basically what the world looks at as success. And a successful person from a worldly perspective is purely someone who has achieved a certain thing in their field. Correct? So, you know, we can be successful in certain areas and be a loser in others. Some of these people I mentioned to you, I don't know all their history, but some of these people I mentioned to you, they've been married many times, divorced. Their moral values are probably not very good, to say the least. There's many things about their life. Their families are just completely destroyed and broken up. There's many, many things about their life that would say, loser, loser, loser. But as a, from a worldly perspective, we look at them and say, oh, they're a great success. They're not, really. Not when you really talk about the game of life. What does it mean to be a real success in the game of life? There's more to it than just achieving great things in your career. There's much more to it. It embodies every area of your life. Now I want you to understand something. I'm not saying this arrogantly. I just want you to know where I am in my life. I feel like I'm a success. Okay? I don't have the biggest church in this area. You know, that doesn't make me, you know, the most successful pastor, but I'm a successful pastor. I love my people. My people love me. Amen. I feel like I'm a success in that area. I'm a success in my family. I've been married 36 years since I was 18 years old. I was just a baby. She came and snatched me out of the cradle. Hallelujah. But she was only 18 too, so we're both very young and naive. But praise God. You know, those first couple of two or three years were kind of rocky, but we found the missing piece. Jesus came into our life. Christ made a difference. He changed. And I got to tell you something. The person that changed most in our relationship, mine and Tammy's relationship, was me. God made huge changes in me. And he's still making big changes. And she'd tell you, he needs to. No doubt about it. That's success. I feel, you know, spiritually, I don't ever feel like I've really arrived spiritually with my God, but I have a relationship with him. And that's a success. Financially, I'm not, you know, I don't have millions of dollars, but we have very little debt that we have to take care of. My income is sufficient. I am happy with what, you know, this church is able to do for me. Praise God. I'm content in that area. I feel like I'm a success. So, I could tell you, I live in a mobile home. The world would look at that and say, you think you're a success? Live in that tin can? Yeah, it's okay. I don't have to pay every month for it.
That's right.
It means a lot to me.
Yes.
And guess what? Praise God with Dave and Jeannie donating logs to us. We're in the process of getting ready to build a log home on the property right behind our mobile home.
You know? Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. My God is just good.
Yes, He is.
Awesome God.
Hallelujah.
So, I'm sharing these things with you because I want you to understand success in life is a balanced life.
Yes.
It's not just about your career, where you work, what you do, or what makes you feel like you're important. It's about everything in your life. It's physically,
yes.
It's emotionally. Can you sleep at night? That's important. I don't care. I don't want billions of dollars if I can't sleep.
Yes.
But I'd like to try it sometime and see. Maybe if I just power it up and sleep on it. I'm just being real with you. I like money just as much as anybody else. And I like nice things. But it's not going to be my overall pursuit in life.
Amen. Amen.
My pursuit is to win at the game of life.
Yes, sir.
We have wonderful children.
Yes,
sir. Our life is just well balanced. Praise God. And let me tell you, I want you to understand something. It's not anything that I did other than serve the living God.
Yes.
Amen.
I just made a choice early in my life, early in our marriage, that I was going to serve Christ with all my heart, soul, and mind.
Yes, sir.
Everything. And we have done that. So I want all of you to recognize that many of you are more of a success than you realize. You're winners.
That's right.
But I believe it can even get better for you. I believe you can win more often. Take more trophies. Have more success when you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you and what His expectation is for you. Let me give you a couple of definitions. A winner, according to Webster's Dictionary, is this: one that is successful, especially through praiseworthy ability and hard work. Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. It's a victor, especially in games and sports, one that wins admiration. So a winner, several things there. A loser is a person or thing that loses especially consistently. Now, that's what we think about as a loser. Someone who loses consistently. Now, I would submit to you that a person who loses consistently has allowed the enemy to set up a scenario in their life that causes that to happen. Many people who lose consistently end up sabotaging their very own efforts.
That's right.
Because the enemy has lied to them.
Yes.
And he set up a trap. Remember when we were talking about offense, we talked about the traps that the enemy sets up. He'll set up a trap every time that in your mind you do not feel that you're worthy to win, that you're worthy to be successful. And through the efforts of the enemy and the traps of the enemy, you end up failing, losing over and over and over. But Jesus Christ said this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. It's the enemy that wants you to fail. It's the enemy that wants you to be down. He wants to put you under his feet. He knows that he's actually under Christ's feet, but he's trying to convince you that you're under his feet. It's the enemy that wants to kill you, destroy you, beat you up, tear you up. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I know those are profound words, but you got to get a little more excited about it. Amen. Abundantly. Abundant living. Jesus promised you that you can have an abundant life here in this world where we live. You can be a winner in the game of life.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's good stuff. Now, the Greek word there, parousos, it means more than enough. Superfluous, abundant and beyond. So I want you to think about that when you read or you think about that scripture. Jesus has promised. He said, I have come that you will have more than enough life.
Yes.
You will have more than enough. Wherever you go, whatever you do, there'll be more than enough there for you.
Yes.
And it's yours. He has it for you. He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to grasp it. Let's look at a few more scripture here. Trying to figure out where I want to go with this. The interesting thing is that I am certainly way off track from where I expected. Yeah. Turn to 3 John. There isn't any chapters. It's verse 1 and 2. Third John. And here's what John said. Well, it's actually verse 2 that I want to focus on. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Now, it's very important that we recognize what John is saying, and the same theme that runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is soul prosperity or spiritual prosperity, if it's understood and it's followed, will equate into physical, emotional, financial prosperity. It's just what way the Bible teaches things. I'm not making this up. You can go back through the whole Testament and you can see that God commanded Abraham, if you do certain things that I have commanded you to do, I'm going to bless you. And here's the interesting thing that I think is so good is that the Old Testament also teaches that if you do what God tells you to do, the blessings will run up on you and overtake you. They'll chase you down. You can't stop them. They'll chase you down and jump on your back. Hallelujah. I've had a lot of things jump on my back in my time, but I prefer blessings. I want blessings jumping on me. So according to what the Word of God is teaching and according to what John is saying, he's saying, listen, I want you to prosper spiritually. I want your soul to prosper so you understand. And how does your soul prosper? Well, you take the Word of God and you devour it, you eat on it, you understand it, you apply it to your life, and your soul prospers. We'll look at that in just a minute. The word health here, it means to a sound in body and good health, just what we think it means. It's talking about your physical health. He wants you to be in health. Prosper means to help on the road or to succeed in success. Here's what this scripture is saying. He said, as your soul, I want your, as your soul prospers, I want you to understand, as your soul prospers, you will be on the road to success in life. Now, of course, I added some of that. I want you to understand that. But that's basically what he's saying. As your soul prospers, you're going to be on the road to success. I want to be on the road to success. I want, you know, at the end of my life, I want to be able to look back on it and say, yeah, yeah, that was good. I don't want to have regrets. I've been by bedside too many times with people who are about to pass from this life and they have nothing but regrets. Regrets that they didn't treat their spouse right. Regrets that they didn't love their children. Regrets that they spent all their time trying to be successful. All kinds of regrets. We do not, as believers in Jesus Christ, I don't care what's happened up to this point in your life, you do not have to have regrets.
Yes, sir.
You can put a stop to it right now. You can get forgiveness. You can get it healed. You can bring your family back together. You can mend any wounds that have taken place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can be on the track so that on your road from this point on, you will be on the road to success.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God kind of success. Now, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about here. The God kind of success. Hallelujah. This game, when you play it, you recognize how much it really is about life. You know, how we acquire things and the priorities that we set and the way we pursue decisions that we make. Listen to me. Seek God. Seek him in all things. Do not make decisions in your life without seeking God. Now, I'm not talking about getting out of bed in the morning. You know, I've known hyper-spiritual people that say they have to ask God what side of the bed they had to get out on. Gee whiz. God has given you some common sense. Use it. If you don't have it, keep your mouth shut. Come on. Do I brush my teeth today or not? Let me answer that for you. Yes. And gargle while you're at it. Come on. Wash your face. Take care of yourself. Do proper things. Come on. Use some common sense. But listen, too many of God's people are making huge decisions without ever consulting God about it. Take some lessons from David. David wouldn't go into battle without hearing from God. David wouldn't even chase after, Amalekites, maybe who it was that came and ravaged the village that he was living in and took his family and all the men's family away. David wouldn't even pursue them until God said it was okay. He had to know that there was going to be success as he went forth, because God was with him. This is the kind of thing I'm just trying to share with you this morning, is that God wants you to know that you are to be successful. You're to be a winner because you already are a winner. And we're going to finish this with the last scripture in Joshua. I know that all of you have heard me talk about this scripture, quote this scripture, believe this scripture, because I think this scripture is so very important to us. Joshua 1. Remember what's happening in these people's lives. They've spent 40 years in the wilderness. And being in the wilderness, the previous generation has passed away. They all died as a curse from God because they disobeyed God. They wouldn't walk by faith and enter the promised land. When God speaks to you, listen and obey. There's only two that came through that, Joshua and Caleb, because they were the two spies that came back with a good report. I love Caleb's attitude. Caleb came back to Joshua and he said, I was 40 years old when we went in to spy out the land. And you told me to go over there to the mountain and see what those giants were doing. And I came back and said, we could take them. He said, I'm 80 years old. I still think we can take them. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. I'm ready to take on the giants. Because they are nothing in the face of my God. Woo. Joshua, I can't even find it now. I got tears in my eyes. Joshua 1. Let's begin with verse 7. Joshua, the great leader, said, only be strong and very courageous. These people are getting ready to now go in and take the land that God promised them 40 years earlier. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Everybody say all. I'm not sure what part of all they didn't understand, but somewhere along the line, they didn't understand all because they got off track and they left doing all. They started doing some of the, they continued doing some of the law of God, but they started mixing the law of God with idol worship and other kinds of spirituality. And it becomes a mixed bag of worship. And they said it was to Yahweh, the Most High God. But it was idolatry, is what it was. And God couldn't stand it. Be careful, people of God. Where do you stand with your living God? Are you trying to serve Him on one hand and serve the world on the other? Are you trying to serve God or serve some kind of idol on this hand? Don't allow those things to draw you away from your living God. All the book. Now, we recognize that we're not under the law. Everybody, come on, raise your hand. Not under the law, you know that, okay? We've done a lot of teachings about this. We're not under the law. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. Amen. He completed it because He died for us. So we understand that we don't have to do any of those sacrificial things, but the spirit of the law is still in effect in the church. The spirit, that means, Jesus said it's fulfilled right here. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbors, yourself. That fulfills all the law and the prophets. That's the spirit of the law. That's what it was all about. But here's what Joshua goes on to say. Do all of that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand to the left. You may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How are you going to make your way prosperous and have good success? How are you going to be a winner in the kingdom of God? Know what God's word says. Apply God's word to your life. Live God's word. Hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Apply God's word to your life. Stand with me. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome and mighty God. His desire is for each of us, each one of us, to be in the place and to recognize that He has a purpose and a destiny for us. Today, I want to encourage you. I want you to be able to take this message home and just think about some of the things that I shared with you. how important it is for you to have the right mindset about who you are in Christ. I'm not talking about pride and arrogance here. I'm talking about knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, not just so that you can go to heaven, you know, go to the sweet by and by, but so that you can recognize and do His will in this earth, that we can accomplish kingdom things. We get caught up in living life sometimes, and I know how that is. It can be hectic, it can be stressful, it can be difficult, but we got to keep our mind on the kingdom. We got to focus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, today, our desire is to just walk out of this. My desire for the people here is to walk out of this place today knowing that they are a winner and that You have set them on a course. Just like John said, they've been set on a course to win at this game of life. Father, today we accept it, we grasp it, we hold on to it, we comprehend it in the name of Jesus, and I speak to the demonic forces of hell that would try to keep Your people from recognizing what You've done for them and what You want for them. They're liars, they're thieves, they're exactly what Your word says about our enemy. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. But today, Father God, we hold on and we grasp the fact that Jesus came, and He came to give us abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.